All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is, first of all, I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. We're going to go, once again, through several different passages of Scripture, and we're going to conclude our series today. We're going to finish up the series that we have been doing about experiencing the relationship with Jesus, the Lord and you, experiencing the relationship. And so last week we talked about listening to God and the reality that God speaks to you. Today we're going to kind of conclude that aspect of it. So I really want to impress upon you a thought. I want you to think for a moment a question. I'm going to ask you some other questions here in a moment. But I want you to think about, process with me one major question. And it has to do with relationships. Now, when you think about relationships, are relationships one-sided or do they involve two people? When you think about your relationships, is a healthy relationship one that is completely one-sided? Meaning, one person, it's all about them and what they want, and the other person kind of goes along with it. Is that a healthy relationship? Anybody? No, not at all. Relationships are multifaceted. They're two-sided. There's two individuals that interact with each other, and because of that, they grow together. This is what I want you to see about the relationship with the Lord. But my concern is, and I'm saying this simply because of my own life, is that somehow I fall into the trap, and I wonder if you do as well, where I view my relationship with God as one-sided. Where I go to Him and constantly tell Him what I want Him to do, and I'm constantly just interacting with Him and wanting Him to meet my needs, but then what He wants doesn't even enter into the picture. That's a one-sided relationship. So that leads me into some other questions that I want you to ponder this morning before we talk about this. I want you to process in your mind these two questions. First of all, do you believe that the Lord is speaking to you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Lord is speaking to you? Or should I say it this way? Do you believe that the Lord can speak to you? That He wants to speak to you is another way to phrase it. Do you believe that the Lord wants to talk to you? That He wants to interact with you? That's the first place you have to start. Because you might be saying, well, yeah, I agree, George, you said earlier, is it just one-sided or is there two sides to it? I believe it's two sides to it. Okay, well, if you believe it's two sides to it, then obviously God wants to interact with you, right? And if He wants to interact with you, He's going to speak to you. Do you believe that? Well, then that brings up the second question I want us to ponder. Is, so then why is He speaking to you? It's got to be more than just simply, I believe that He can talk to me. Well, then the question, next question, which is very logical, okay, so then why is He talking to you? Why does He want to talk to you? What is He saying to you? Do you know what I'm saying? And He's not going to talk to you about, hey, can you give me what the score is? What the outlook looks for, like for the Steelers or how the Pirates are doing? God's not interested in that kind of, He's interested in you. And He wants to talk about you. So why is He talking to you? And what I think we're going to find is that He does talk to us. And so now we've got to decide what we're going to do with that. So here's what we're going to do the rest of our time together. We're going to talk about learning to listen. You and I have to learn to listen. We have to learn to discern God's voice in our life because He does speak to us, okay? We're going to learn to listen, and then we're going to talk about the response. Because when he speaks to you, there has to be a response from you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me ask you something. I get this way. You ever talk to somebody and you're talking to them and you're like asking them a question and they don't respond? Hey, how's your day going? Crickets. Silence. Hey, did you get my message? Crickets. Silence. How do you feel about that? When you feel like they're ignoring you. Does that go over well? So we're going to talk about the response, and then what we're going to talk about is the implications. We're going to talk about the implications for you and I about the reality of God speaking to us, okay? So let's talk about learning to listen. Now, how we're going to learn to listen is in 1 Samuel, chapter 3. Starting with verse 1, we're going to talk about a young guy named Samuel. And he was taught to listen. So this is a narrative, a historical account. This isn't necessarily going to be true for all of us, but it does reveal some things to us that will help us in understanding about learning to listen. So I want you to notice with me, here is what the writer records in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At the time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called to Samuel and said, Here I am, and he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. Then the Lord called again, Samuel. Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Remember that statement. That's a good one. He did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Now for you and I, let me just make a statement here. You should know the Lord, right, if you're a believer. And the word of the Lord, what's that? Your word, right? The Bibles that you should be holding there in your hands. Hopefully it's been revealed to you. But in Samuel's life, it wasn't. Look here. And the Lord called Samuel and again a third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Then, I think that's a kind of an understatement there. Then, finally, Eli, okay, perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears. Now, let's go over to verse 19 now. Verse 19, the end of that chapter. Here's what I want you to notice. It says this, And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. That's Samuel. He didn't let any of the words of God fall to the ground in his life. And here's what it says. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. All right, now here's a couple things I want to show you, okay? First of all, when we talk about learning to listen, the fact is the Lord speaks to his servants. God speaks to his servants. You've got to believe that. Can I tell you, so I mentioned to you, all right, so I mentioned using a resource like led by the Spirit. I mentioned to you using the YouVersion Bible app and the Bible plans that we give you. I mentioned in the back we have the Bible reading guides and so forth. I mentioned all of those things. There's audio Bibles. There's different things to get God's Word into your life. Now, here's what I'm going to explain to you. Us telling you that, my telling you that, my encouraging you to do these things isn't just so that you could check off on your Christian to-do list for the day, I did my Bible reading. I'm a good Christian. It isn't so that you could say, I have learned a lot now, I know more, I can answer Bible questions. I didn't say, that's not what it's for. Listen, you getting into His Word is for one reason only. Letting God speak to you. Letting Him show you things. Letting Him create you into a different person. Letting Him help you through whatever it is that you're going through. Letting Him give you guidance. Letting Him reveal to you who Jesus is and how great Jesus is and how God is and the faith that you can have in Him. My friends, getting into His Word is so that it gives you the opportunity for God to speak to you. The Lord speaks. Listen to this. This is interesting. Over in the Minor Prophets, one of the Minor Prophets, Amos, this is what the Lord said through the prophet in chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord God does nothing without revealing His secret to His servants, the prophets. God shows us things. He gives us understanding. He guides us. You know that. Hopefully you do. When you see things happening around you, hopefully your mind is flooded with scriptures that you have read that give you understanding about what it is that we're facing or what it is that you're facing, that you understand. God reveals those things to His servants. He speaks to us. That's the first key thing that you've got to know about listening to Him. You've got to know that He speaks to you. Here's the second thing I want you to see. We have to learn how to respond to the Lord. We have to learn how to respond to Him. So I think it's an odd story, but it's a wonderful story. Here's Eli. He's basically been given over to the temple by his mother to serve the high priest. At this point, the high priest Eli is getting pretty old. His eyes are growing dim, meaning he's going blind. This young boy is helping him out all the time. Eli goes to bed, so now the young boy is somewhere in the temple going to bed, and God is coming to him, and he doesn't know it's the Lord yet. And so he thinks when he hears Samuel that it's Eli calling him, so he runs over to Eli, and he says, I'm here, what do you need? And Eli says, I didn't call you, go back to bed. Now, I can almost picture the words are a little bit more elaborate than what they're saying. It'd be like, why are you waking me up? You ever been woke up in the middle of the night by your kids? Go back to bed! You could almost sense that. And then sure enough, he goes back to bed, and guess what? The Lord comes again. Samuel! And so he runs to Eli. It's the third time before Eli realizes, whoa, something's going on here. Maybe it's the Lord. And then he tells Samuel, the next time it happens, you say to him, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Here's what I want you to see. Here's the second thing about learning to listen. We have to learn how to respond to the Lord. You got to learn how to respond to Him. You got to learn how to react when He shows you something. And let me just go ahead and say this to you right now. God's not just going to show you sweet, wonderful things that make you feel good about yourself. Sometimes God shows you things that you don't like about yourself or what He's doing. But now the question is, how are you going to respond to Him? How are you going to accept what he's saying? And for Samuel, it was, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That's the attitude you and I have to have. Speak, Lord, because I'm listening to you. Show me. And so, can I be honest with you? When I do my Bible reading time throughout the day, I read through the scriptures many times throughout the day, but in the morning in particular, when I'm devoted to wanting the Lord to speak to me as I'm praying, I'll say to him, Lord, I'm listening. Show me what I need to know today. Show me what it is that you want me to see. Show me what it is that you want me to do. I'm listening. I'm listening. That's what we need to do in learning to listen, is to respond to him. So then, okay, so let's talk about the response. Go over to James in the New Testament. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let's talk about the response. All the way over to the epistle of James, the brother of Jesus, pastor of the Jerusalem church. And I want you to notice with me verses 22 to 25. Here is what James writes. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Now, here's two things I want to show you, because notice what it talks about. It talks about hearing, right? Hearing, but it also talks about doing. So here's what I want you to understand. First of all, once the Lord speaks to you, the issue is your response. Once the Lord speaks to you, so let me just go ahead and tell you, he is going to speak to you. He is going to speak to you. The question now is your response. What are you going to do about it? And so, for instance, like here we are, we're gathered here this morning, and you've heard through the music, through prayer, even now through the message, God is speaking through those three avenues to us. The question is, what do we do about it? That's the thing. The issue is how you respond. So I've shared this before with some of you. I'll share it with you again. So in 1996, I was pastoring in Canada. And at that time, there was a men's movement that was very prevalent here in the United States. Promise Keepers. You guys remember Promise Keepers? Okay? And so they held big rallies everywhere. So they usually would hold a rally over in Pittsburgh at Three Rivers Stadium. Remember Three Rivers before they tore it down? Three Rivers Stadium. Or they would hold them in New York. And that year in 96, they held a rally in Syracuse, New York, in the Carrier Dome. Okay, so that was the Coliseum for Syracuse University. Carrier Dome's where the Syracuse University played their basketball. Okay, so they had a rally there. And I took a group of about 10 men from our church, our little church in Ontario. We came down and went to this Promise Keepers event. And it was a great event. Lots of messages and so forth. And our guys had a great time. So we came back to Ontario. About 2 weeks later, I'm having coffee with one of the men. And he's saying to me, George, I really appreciated going to that conference. And I said, oh, that's great. I'm glad. He said, yep, God spoke to me. And I said, what? And he said, he told me to go back to my ex-wife and apologize. So I'm like, my jaw's dropping. And I'm thinking through my mind, every message that we heard in this conference, none of them had anything to do with what he was talking about doing. But obviously God spoke to him and told him to go apologize. And he was asking me, how do I do that? And he did. The issue is God spoke to him through the things that were going on. The issue now is, how was he going to respond? See, when God speaks, this is what James is trying to make here. He's making a point. When you hear, you've got to decide to do something with that. You've got to decide to do something with that. So here's what I want you to see. Acting on what the Lord tells you brings his blessing. Notice what James is saying here. If you hear, you have a choice. You either do something about it or you don't do something about it. He says, for the one who hears and does nothing, he's like the guy in the morning who looks in the mirror and sees himself and walks away and sees nothing. He doesn't remember anything he saw. It's kind of like sometimes, okay, so I have a beard. So my wife is very gracious with me. So sometimes when we're eating something, I'll have something smear on my beard. Now, I can't see my face. And when it's a beard, I can't even feel. When I didn't have a beard, I could feel like, oh, I have something on my cheek. I don't even feel that anymore. And so she'll say to me, you need to wipe your face. And I'll wipe the wrong side. She'll say, no, the other side. Okay, so, all right. So it's kind of like if I'm up in the bathroom and I turn the mirror on and I look and there's cream or something on my beard, and then I don't do anything about it. I walk away, and there it is, hanging on my beard until she says, are you going to clean that? What's the matter with you? It's kind of like when God speaks to you, are you going to do something or not? It's like when you see it in the mirror, walking away doing nothing. Or you become a doer after hearing, and God blesses you. It's up to you. You've got to learn to respond. You've got to do what he tells you to do. This is the issue. Now, there's some implications here. What are the implications? Well, we're going to go back to what Jesus said. So I want you to now turn over to the Gospel of Mark. Mark, the fourth chapter. If you go over to the Gospel of Mark, you know, before we heard it from the writer of Samuel, concerning Samuel, now we saw what James, the brother of Jesus, said. How about if we hear what Jesus says himself? I want you to focus on verses 23 through 25. Here's what Jesus says. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. For the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. For the one who has, the more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. All right, now here's what I want you to see, folks. Two things as we talk about the implications. All right, so let's go back to the original question. Does he speak to you? Yeah. Why? Because he's wanted to tell you something. Now the question is, what do you do with it? That's your response, right? Now here's the implications of your choice. Here's the implications of what you decide to do. We see it here in the words of Jesus. Two things I want to show you. Here's the first one. You are called to pay attention to what you hear. You're called to pay attention. You're called to pay attention. Bottom line, pay attention. Pay attention. So let me go back to the same church back in Canada. Around that same time period, and actually it came out of what happened. there was a situation where somebody needed to make things right with another church. And so somehow God was telling me to get involved in this situation and bring about this reconciliation. And usually, can I be honest with you, being a peacemaker in between two people who don't like each other is not a great thing. You know that, right? When you got two people that are mad at each other and you're the peacemaker, that's not a good place to be in. And so God's saying to me, I need you to get involved with this. So I go and I just got so frustrated, and I knew that God was telling me to do that. I find in my life the things that God wants me to do, I don't want to do them. I don't want to do them. So in this situation, I got to a point where it's like, this is going nowhere. I'm done with this. I said to the Lord, I'm done with it. Guess what he did? Kept telling me to get involved. And then the ultimate outcome was a reconciliation. But there was a price to be paid for it. You have to pay attention to what he's telling you, because he'll keep telling you the same thing. He keeps telling you until you decide to do something. This is the reality. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Your response or your lack of response or lack of one determines future communication. That's what Jesus is getting at here. Look at what he says there. Again, he says this. Pay attention to what you hear, for with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you, and more will be added to you. For the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Listen, when God speaks to you and he's telling you to do something, do it. Because if you don't, he's not going to tell you anything more. Then you have silence. What's the implications of that, George? Well, you're sitting there and you're wondering, well, you know, I wish I could hear from the Lord, but I don't hear anything. Well, what's the last thing he told you? Maybe you need to go back and do what he told you, because he will bring it up again. Like, for instance, there's a guy in the Old Testament, a minor prophet. What an illustration. Jonah. Remember Jonah? He was told to what? Go to Nineveh. And of course, he didn't want to do that. That was the enemies of Israel. So he heads where? To Tarshish, which is in Spain. And God's not letting him get away with it. And of course, we got the whole story of him being swallowed by a fish, 3 days in the belly of a whale or whatever, and then being regurgitated up onto the shore. And then what it says, then the word of the Lord came to him again. What did it say? Same thing. Go to Nineveh. Preach against the city. What's God saying to you? Because the response or your lack of it determines future communication. This is reality. You say, okay, George, we're drawing to an end here. What do we do with this? Well, let's go back to what I originally said to you, the very first question. Is your relationship one-sided or two-sided? Is your relationship, can I be honest with you, simply just you going to God and pouring out what you need for him to do that day, pouring out how you need him to provide, pouring out and asking him to do this and do that and do this, but you don't listen? You don't allow him to speak to your life? Is it one-sided? And I'll be honest with you, for a lot of us, and even there are points in my life, it is like that. It's completely one-sided. I am so self-focused in my time with the Lord, where I'm only focused on me and what he can do for me. Let me tell you, that's not a relationship. That's being a mooch. You know what I mean? That's mooching off of God. The question is, if it's a relationship, that means he wants to interact in your life. He wants to speak to you. So is it one-sided or two-sided? And hopefully if it's two-sided, you would say, okay, Lord, like Samuel, speak, for your servant's listening. And like George, you would say, speak. It's usually something I don't want to do, Lord, but help me to do it. And he will. And then hopefully what we read in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19 through the end of the chapter, the testimony of Samuel as a boy, that he didn't let the word of God fall to the ground. He acted on everything God told him to do. That would be our testimony as well. That we would listen to him and do what he says. And because of that, James says, we will be blessed. Now that doesn't mean you're going to have a fat bank account. That means that you will experience the spiritual blessings because you walk with him. So the relationship, you want to experience it, then don't look at it as a self-focus, what can I get out of it? Look at it as something that he talks to you and you talk to him, and together he brings about what he wants to do in your life. That, my friends, is something to think about. And my hope is that you decide the status quo isn't good enough anymore and that you want something different in your walk with God. Let me pray for you.